quickly Pirkei Avos differs from, say, Mishnah?
It is Mishnah. It's not Gemara. There's no Gemara in Pirkei Avos apart from what.
Do you find it in a separate book, or do you find it in the back of a?
It's the back. Oh, it's Mishnah in the back at the end of Nezikin. It's the end of the tractates of Nezikin. The Masechet is dealing with damages. Why is it there? Okay, that's
no,
the first
no
Mishnah.
Why is there no Gemara?
No Gemara was written on it. It wasn't written, like, it wasn't learned as a Masechet with Gemara.
So Pirkei Avos are specifically Mishnahs that have no Gemaras?
No, it happens to be that the Mishnah, there are Mishnahs which don't have Gemaras. All the Mishnahs has Yerushalmi of Zerayim, has Talmud Yerushalmi. The Mishnahs of Taras, of, you know, apart from Nida, have no Talmud Bavli. So there are Mishnahs who don't have Gemaras. But it's some of these things are mentioned in Gemaras. There's a Tana Avot Ravinason, which is like it's like a Brises which relate to what's happened in the Pirkei Avos. Understand? Because there's no real Gemaras on it. Mm-hmm. The Rishonim speak it out and explain it. Understand?
Will there be Mishnahs in?
Usually things which are more Musa, there's not so much Gemaras on.
I'm still pretty unclear on Pirkei Avos. Like, for example, the tractate, or what we're learning in Kedushin right now, is that also featured within Pirkei Avos? Or is it a...
Which, what are you learning?
I mean, Kedushin, Aisha Niknes Peshara.
No, that's not Pirkei Avos. That's in Kedushin, that's the tractate
exactly,
in Nashim.
Exactly, it's in Kedushin, so how does... I don't understand Pirkei Avos.
It's separate, it's separate.
Right. Separate Mishnah. Okay. It's a Mishnah. You know how the Mishnah is? There's six orders of Mishnah. There's Zeroyim, there's Moed, right? Zeroyim speaks about seeds and plowing and stuff like that, apart from brachos, with the brachos of the seeds. Then there's Moed, which speaks about all our festivals, Shabbat and our festivals, and all the laws pertaining to them, right? Then there's Nashim, which speaks about all the laws to do with women, marrying them, divorcing them, your obligations to them.
Kedushin,
yeah, Kedushin is marrying them. And your obligations when you chuppah, all the, you know, ksuvas, your marital obligations, that's nashim. Then there's nezikin, which is all damage laws. Right? There's other things which you mentioned, like Velizara's mentioned there. Okay, well, you know. And then there's Kodshim. All these things which is on the laws of the Korbanos. Right? And then there's Taras, which is the laws of the purity and impurity. That's the six. Right?
Is that all only in Bavli, Talmud Bavli?
That's Talmud Bavli. There's no Talmud Bavli in all of them. I told you, Zeroyim and Taurus don't have any Talmud Bavli. The rest have Talmud Bavli.
So Pirkei Avos is like... Pirkei Avos is like... It's like a separate thing without Gemara, and it's like the...
Not really shown. Okay. Musa's phrases of the Tanayim. Right. Of the Avbeistin, of the Nasi and Avbeistin. It's their life statements. It's the life statements of the Tanayim. From Moshe Rabbeinu down to to the last Tanaim.
Now, is it also the case that it just doesn't fit in the other six categories?
No, not because there's no Gemara on it. Probably the reason Musa, generally speaking, doesn't have that much Gemara. Because you have to understand something. Musa is not something. We're not really learning Pirkei Avos now, but Musa is something. It's not something you really. It's something you learn like you learn a Gemara. It's like you can learn it like you learn a Gemara, but there's a lot of like practical things which are obvious, or which you learn through life's experience.
So it's like find yourself a teacher, and it's not something you like.
Yeah. You need to. Most of something you need to more learn from a teacher. It's something you need to get experience from other people.
Like the Mishnah, where it's like find yourself a teacher.
But in Musa, generally speaking, you need more of a teacher than you learn in Gemara. Gemara, you can learn by yourself. Once you know how to learn, you can learn it by yourself. You can pick up, you know, plenty of achronim, poskim, right? You can learn by yourself. Musa, you need to see someone doing things. You need to learn from someone. You know, you need a keshe with a. Come in. Who are you looking for? 1 second.
$6,000 rubles. I got off their side locks.
You're just a practical jokester now, aren't you?
So do you have for gavels?
I guess. Is it? It's found in the back of a particular tractate of Gemara.
It's in this Talmud. It's not Gemara. It's Mishnah. And it's like sayings of the Nazis and the Avestans that like exemplify their lives.
So if a man receives shas as a wedding present, a full collection of Gemara, he's going to have to pay out those.
Yeah, I mean, for Gemara, you have an Siddur.
It's in
the Earth School?
It's definitely the Shabbos one, in Mincha. Towards the end, it's like, well, it's all pure Pirkei Avos. It's definitely in there.
How can pure Pirkei Avos fit in this sitter?
It's not that much.
This is pure Pirkei Avos right here.
That's all right,
Pirkei Avos. Sorry about that, you guys. Alright, so let's go. Let's start the Pirkei Avos. Yeah? We're starting now.
But so the art school sitter has Pirkei Avos in it?
Yeah, every sitter has it, because they read it after Mincha. Sure. Okay, let's just start. We don't do any Pirkei Avos. Ben Zoma Omer. This is Perek Revi, the fourth Perek, Mishnah Aleph. Ben Zoma Omer. Yeah, you guys haven't got a one open? It's good if you have a look inside. Ben Zoma Omer. Alright, here's fourth Perek, the first one. You guys?
Want to share?
Yeah, you share, and I'll get you. Show. Have a nice big one. You want to? Okay, you got that one. Ben Zoma.
Hey,
you get a sitter. No, I don't need a sitter. It's better this, because I'm going to read the Rabbeinu Yonah. Yeah. So we have another one? You want one? You share with me when we read the Rabbeinu Yonah, okay? Ben Zoma says, Eis Dehu Chacham. We'll probably only be able to do the first line today. Who is a wise man? Right? Okay. Before we get to the answer, tell me you. How would you define a wise man?
I learned this before, so it's that kind of cheating.
You can even with learning before, give me your own thinking. What do you think is considered a wise man?
Somebody who maybe doesn't. Somebody who recognizes how little they know.
That's an interesting answer. Okay. Recognize how little they know.
Socrates' answer. Right. Yeah.
That's Socrates' answer?
Pretty much.
Plato through Socrates. Yeah.
Socrates through Plato.
Someone who realizes how little they know. Okay. So it's an interesting answer. It's a negative, but it's an interesting answer. Okay, let's see it.
Someone who learns something from everyone else, like someone who is able to learn something from.
Oh, just take the hat off the book.
Call them.
Someone who learns from everyone else. Okay.
I guess who can learn something.
Why is that a wise man?
Because everybody has something that they're better at than you. Like I learned that everybody has something that they're better at than you, and if you can learn from everybody, then you can be a wise man.
You can learn wrongly from people as well. That makes you wise.
I mean, learn good.
There's certain people I wouldn't learn from.
Because learn what not to do.
Okay, you can learn. Okay, so you know that's the definition. You can learn from everyone. That sounds like a good answer.
Okay.
I mean, what are you going to say? That's the mission. But why is that a wise man? I hear someone who knows. I hear Socrates, right? But why does this make sense? Let's see. Halomed mikol adam, someone who learns from every man. Shenema, mikol melamdai, from all my teachers, hiskalti, did I learn? Okay, thank you very much. So you learned from all your teachers. Where does it say you learn from every man? So the pasuk says you learn from all your teachers.
Every man is your teacher.
But how do you know that's what the pasuk says?
Well, if you learn from every man.
No, no. The statement is someone who learns from every man. And when we bring a raya from a pasuk, mikol melamdai hiskalti. Maybe only from your teachers you learnt. Who says you learn from every man? I mean, it has to make sense. Let me say something. When we're learning a piece of Torah, right? Why am I doing this? Why? You have to learn it that it doesn't make sense. Because if you just, okay, just read it. You know, it takes 2 minutes to read it. Right? I wouldn't have a share if I took 2 minutes to read it. No, serious. But seriously, when you're learning a piece of Torah has to make sense. That means you have to ask all those things which you don't think make sense about it and make sense of it. Doesn't matter what piece of Torah you learn. That's the way we learn Gemara. That's the way you learn Chumash. That's the way you learn any book that's written in Hebrew. You know, I said in Hebrew, not in English, right?
Why does it say every man and then take a smaller group and say I learned from my teachers? Because if you said every man, then there's no need to say I learned from my teachers.
Right, no, that's a proof. The pasuk says Shinema means a proof. That's what you, so the question is, you're learning from every man. The statement is, a wise man is someone who learns from every man. The qualification of that statement is, the pasuk, right, in Tehillim says, David HaMelech, from all my teachers did I learn. That didn't mean learn from every man. So where's the raya there? Where's the proof there?
I think it does make sense. I don't feel like I have any questions, too many questions. Maybe I should, but because I'm the youngest in my family. And I learned from everybody, and I feel like because of that, like I just learned
from everybody's mistakes.
From either the mistakes, or they each taught me something different, and the fact that I was able to learn from it made me a better person.
Maybe wiser. Okay.
Yeah,
so you learn from
something that's not necessarily implicit. I think it's assumed when we read this, is that you learn the right things from people. Because I mean, for every action that somebody does, you can learn. You know, either do this or
not do it. Right.
And so, like, how do you know what to learn from someone?
Okay.
So
you're saying an important point. The Rambam also says this in psychology. Certainly, it's said as well. Right? Don't need to write from psychology. I have a Rambam. But the Rambam says, if you're around amongst people who have bad thinking, you're going to learn to think badly. So, that's not a good idea.
So maybe the learning model.
If you're on college campus and people live life in a certain way, right? Who says you should be learning from them? And who says you're going to be learning from them the right way? Maybe you learn from them, like you're saying, the wrong way. So that doesn't seem to be learning from every man. It sounds as if mikol melamdai hiskalti is a better concept of learning, that I learn from all my teachers. So now we have to understand, if the pshat is I'm learning from all my teachers, that makes sense. So why is the Mishnah saying in such a way? It's actually not good to learn. You won't be able to learn from every man. Certain people you shouldn't be learning from, and if you're in their company, you might learn the wrong things than the right things. So it might be better to keep away from their company. Mm-hmm. So let's see. So let's see what Rabbeinu Yonah says. You have Rabbeinu Yonah? Ben Zomame, Ezu Chacham, Alomed Mikol Adam. Amru Chachmea Umot. Said the wise people of the world. Ki hayodeh kol hachochmot. Someone who knows all of wisdoms. Im eino ohev hachochma. If he doesn't love wisdom, eino chacham. He's not a wise person. Ela tipesh. He's an idiot. Who? He's a tipesh. Achash eino ohev hachochma. He doesn't love wisdom. Ki hu hadad. That's das. Wisdom is das. Okay. He's saying things. We don't know what it means yet. Acha ohev otso. Someone who loves wisdom. He desires it, right? We all like Ricky's cake, right? But we have to desire wisdom. Yeah. In the Rabbeinu Yonah over here. You got me?
No.
This guy. Sorry. It's here. It's just down there. This one here. You have it? You got it?
Yeah.
You have it? Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, it's right?
Okay.
Afa pi she'eino yodea klum, even if he doesn't know anything. He's zero. Right? He doesn't know anything. He's a ma'or guy. That's zero. He's considered a wise man. Why? He desires wisdom. That's in, where, first we have to get where he gets this thing from, right? I mean, is he explaining the mission to us? Harizeh nikra chacham. Why? This is called a wise person. She'akor panim tasig el hachokhma. He'll reach wisdom. Hamitit, truth. V'dat elokim timsan. You'll know the das of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You'll find. Alzeh amar ben zomer. This is what ben zomer says. Ezu chacham. Who's a wise person? Halomed mikol adam. Shekol kach. He's so much ohev hachokhma. Loves wisdom. And he desires it. He asks every man, even if someone just knows one thing, he'll learn from him, he'll be successful in his ways, and then he'll be knowledgeable. And this is what's called the Chacham Shenema in Tehillim, the same Pasuk. Mikom Lamda, Hiskalti, all my teachers I learned. Sheken Amad David HaMelech Alav HaShalom, Shalamad Mikol Adam, he learned from every man. Velo Haya Omer, and he didn't say, Zeh Einu Yodeh Kamoni, this person doesn't know like me. Ki Mikulam Lamad, everyone he learned. Vehiskil, Michel, and he skilled, and he understood. Marshal La Adam, it's a marshal to a person, Shivsid Kli Katan, he lost a small vessel. He's going to look for it. He lost us something. He's going to ask him, do you see my small vessel? You saw my small vessel? He'll find it in the end, right? So now we have to understand what he's talking about. What's Rabbeinu Yonah saying? And he said, Das here. Right? As he asked you. So he's learning, what do you mean, Mikol Adam? Anyone who has wisdom, but he's not as wise as you, that's Mikol Adam. It's a teacher. You're learning from all your teachers. But anyone who you know who has wisdom, even if he doesn't have wisdom in everything like you, he's less than you. But there's something that he has that you don't have. Or he has a different opinion. You're going to learn from him? We're not saying go and sit around in, I don't know, Ben Yehuda and start asking people their opinions of life, right? No one's asking you that. We're saying someone who has wisdom. Someone who's a teacher in this aspect of his wisdom. Don't think that, no, I know more than him and I can't learn from him. Because you can learn from everyone. You know, I have a lot of boys who go to shiur and say, you know, Rabbi, I didn't really learn that much from that shiur. Or it was a thing. You can always learn from a shiur. There's always something you can learn. That rabbi is better, that rabbi is less good, this one's better, that... There's always something you can learn. You want to be a chacham? Learn from all man. All your teachers are something they can learn. They have a different view, a different point of view, different way of looking at it. And he's saying a very big point. He's actually teaching a way to get wisdom. How's a way to get wisdom?
You're learning from people with wisdom. It's not,
you learn from everyone. Who not the wisest of people.
Right, but if they have...
They have some aspect of wisdom. That's something they have to say.
Which means that they also are searching for wisdom.
Yeah, if they are chacham, yeah. So you have to be a desirer of wisdom. Not just what interests me. No, it doesn't mean it interests you. Rabbeinu Yonah Meduyak. So you have to desire wisdom. If you want to succeed in yeshiva, if you want to be a chacham, now, not in 2 years' time, now, right? You need one quality. Desire wisdom. There's a shear. You know, you have to do your exercise, you have to eat, you have to do all the things you have to do. There's a shear. I want wisdom. What did he say? What did that rabbi say? You know, I was in London when Rav Adya Yosef came there. And he doesn't know English. And, you know, there was a rabbi, I don't want to say the name, there was a rabbi there who spoke. There's no comparison in terms of wisdom. I mean, you know, this person knows what he knows, and this person, he's a choshev rov, but there's no comparison. And he was sitting there in the shir, and this other rabbi who was younger than him and less knowledgeable than him, and was giving over his shir. And it was an amazing thing. The rabbi told me that told me that he was asking him, what did he say? What was he mechadish? What chiddush did he have? What nuance did he have?
Rabbi Yosef.
What did he need to know what he had to say? He could have just picked up his shas, gone through another 7 pages of Gemara. What he had to say? You understand? Halom en kol adam. That's what it means. What's his chiddush? You don't mavatel at whatever a person says, because everyone has a point of view. You might disagree. It doesn't mean you can't learn from their point of view. You have to be open-minded enough to learn from other people. Doesn't mean you can't argue, you can't say it doesn't make sense to you, or whatever. That definitely you can do. That's what we do. Tosis does it all the time. Tosis was in the Chacham. Tosis says, Taimon Rashi, right? And he gets rid of him, right? And Rashi was a clever guy, right? Doesn't mean he could, but he learned Rashi. Or he tries to explain him, or he tries to understand him. He's looking to understand. You can disagree. Disagreeing doesn't mean you don't learn from other people. You can learn and disagree. That's fine. You can be mechaved him for his opinion, but you can disagree. That's the quality. The quality of the desire to learn from someone else that makes you into a chacham. Now, if we go back to Aristotle or Socrates, what you said? Socrates, what did he say? Someone who realizes doesn't know. Right? I think this is a better definition, Chazal. Because that he's talking about an intellectual. Chazal's not talking about an intellectual. Chazal's talking about anyone. You are a zero, you know nothing. But because you want it, you get it. And that's Chazal tells you. If you have that desire, you be it. And it's also telling you the way of getting it. Aristotle didn't tell you how to be a wise person. I mean, maybe he told you humility, right? He didn't tell you how to get there. This is telling you the way you get it. A mechanism through being, to be wise. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's practical.
But to be practical, you have to be able to recognize a wise person, right?
No, it's desire for wisdom. You don't have to recognize wisdom in a person. If you have a desire, let me tell you something. He said, you lost a vessel. He gives the analogy. You have to be wise to know you have to ask people who has a vessel?
No,
it's easy, right? Everyone knows if they lost something that's dear to them, they'll be asking everyone in the shiva, did you see my recorder? Did you see my this? Did you see my iPod? Whatever they have, right? Yeah. Everyone knows that. You don't have to be wise for that. But if you desire wisdom, anyone who you think might have it, you're going to ask them, tell me with wisdom. Or do you have a shiur? Do you have a thing? Right? Do you have something to say about this week's parasha?
Don't we still have that problem of learning from people you shouldn't be learning from?
Yeah, look, I'm not telling you to go up to your local reform rabbi and tell me what's your hashkafas of life. Yeah.
Right. You have to be able to.
Yeah, I'm talking. Yeah, I'm talking about when Pirkei Avos is speaking. He's speaking about people with frum. I'm talking about within the frum area, within the frum world. Right? You meet an old man here, right?
Yeah.
You can speak to him. At least you have wisdom. Talk about people who,
Well, you can't. Like, it's only like Torah knowledge, or you can't.
Any knowledge is wisdom. Torah means Torah. Torah is something different. This is a way to get Torah knowledge, you're speaking about. Because the wisdom really comes from Torah. En Chochmah, right?
Shouldn't you, go and ask any person,
professor? Or I'm not telling you. I don't know if this applies to quantum mechanics or philosophy. If this statement applies, that if you desire to be a great philosopher, right, you're going to be one. But the Torah is saying that if you desire wisdom, if you desire God's truth, then you are considered wise. Because that means the desire for something, this is a very important point, desire for something spiritual means you have it. Means you are it. Ezu Chacham is saying here, who's a wise person? Someone who desires wisdom. It's not saying this is the way to get it. It's saying that's who you are now as well. It's a definition of who you are. So if I have a group of students and I see this one desires wisdom more than this one, I know that he'll be a bigger Talmud Chacham than him, because his desire is much greater. And there's many Rebbeim in history who weren't as clever as the other people, but because their desire for wisdom was so great, they became bigger rabbis. How much do you desire it? How much is it important to you? How much is it part of your life? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. What were you saying a second ago about spirituality? One who wants to be spiritual is spiritual?
Yeah. On a deeper level, I spoke of this out once, and I think maybe I shared before, but there's a concept that a person's made of different wills. There's different wills in a person. So I'm going to talk about his simple will. You know, in psychology, I don't know enough psychology, but I know talk about your subconscious. Subconscious, usually speaking, about your inner will, right? You know, sometimes you can even be conscious and you know, have a concept of what your inner wills are. So that inner will define you in terms of your desire. If a person has an inner will for X, right? So that defines him. That motivates him. If his desire is to be know the Torah, that'll motivate him. That defines him. There's other higher levels of will, right? Say a person desires learning Torah and you tell him he's an idiot, he doesn't know any Torah, that will hurt him very greatly. If you pick on someone's inner will and you nullify it, you can very much hurt a person, you can hurt him very greatly. There's higher levels of will. That's a subconscious, there's will, that's what's called keter, your rotzen, your desire, your will. That's your inner will. There's your outer will which hovers over you, which is due to your neshama. That's a much higher level of desire of why you're living at all. Sometimes you might even know why you're living. Something very deep down. And then there's a will even about that, which is like encompassing you.
Talks about that.
Yeah? Okay, anyway. There's three levels of will. Basic three levels of one that's inside you, those are the ones that Freud speaks about. There's two above you, one that's hovering near you, the one that's hovering around you.
The Shama, Rotsa, and the other one is...
I don't know how you call it in English. It's like it's called, in Hebrew what it's called. It's called your
will.
Yeah, your inner will can change. Those things will be probably these things, as look, I don't know how much they can change, but your will, you know, some people have, you know, Freud made everyone into an animal, right? Basically so that's their inner will, right? Maybe that was his inner will, I don't know, but he made everyone into an animal. But Baruch Hashem, people aren't like that, you know. Maybe there's a lot of people like that, I don't know how many people are like that, but Jews, generally speaking, aren't like that. Their inner will is, or certainly their higher wills, are desires for something much, much greater. And we're talking about here the desire for wisdom. That's what makes you into a wise man. If a person has that desire, he is a wise man. That's a desire for truth. When you desire truth, it means you want to live according to it. We don't mean you want to learn truth because you want to become a philosopher. It means because you want to live according to it. The very fact that a person lives with that concept, that he desires truth because he wants to live according to truth, that makes him already into a wise man. There's more people who are wise, right, the more you desire that truth. And let's be honest, the more you desire it, the closer you are to your Creator. And the more of a person who's an Ish Emes, a person who's the truth, who lives that truth, to act that truth, to behave that truth.
So if you're learning Torah all day, but really it's gonna be like, it's like kind of like a thing you do and you don't really desire the Torah.
It'll affect you. Torah has an effect on you because Torah is a very spiritual thing. It'll affect you. It might change your inner desires without you even realizing it. It'll affect you. But you have to, you know, if you want the Torah to more have an influence on you, you have to desire it. It says, Torah that I learned with my nose, right? Jews have things about noses, right? What do you mean Torah you learned with your nose? Well, you don't, I thought you learned Torah with your hands. That's a Jewish thing. What Torah you learned with your nose? What do you do with your nose?
Smell.
You breathe. Can you, how long can you live without breathing? Not you personally, but how long can a person live? Not very long, probably. How long? A few minutes?
Sometimes.
Yeah. What do you mean Torah you learn with your nose? You breathe Torah. It's so important, so vital to you. You can't go without it. I'm not saying we're on that level. But that's what Gemara says. Torah that I learned with my nose stood for me. There's different levels of learning Torah. That's called having desire. You know, we all have a desire for schnitzel. But, you know, Wednesday comes along, I get my schnitzel, I'm alright. You know, Ricky's cake once in the afternoon, okay, you know. But, you know how good it is to breathe? The chas v'shalom that we wouldn't put in our, you know, we don't want to put ourselves in a position that we can't breathe. But if someone can't breathe chas v'shalom for a few minutes, right? And then all of a sudden he's breathing. You know how accelerated he'll be? They can breathe again? We know that by drinking, you know, the whole fast day you had yesterday, right? You couldn't drink the whole fast day. Then at the evening you could drink and eat. It was great, right? You know, water. Who has a desire for drinking water? Right? But after a fast, it's sweet, it's good, it's tasty. Right? So you can imagine what smelling is. That's the level of desire we're talking about. That's not an easy level to get. Right? Halavai, our desire for Torah would be like a piece of cake. Halavai. But the more you desire it, the more of a wise person you are. Now, doesn't matter how much you know. And the more you learn, because the Ben Yonah also promises you, as Yaskia, then you become wise. You understand? Okay, next goes the next bit. Next one. Ezehu Gibo. Who's a strong person? Come on. 100 pounds.
1, 2.
How do you define a strong person in terms of, let's say, spiritually strong? We're not going to speak about, well, that's what we're talking about here. Who's a spiritually strong person?
He can resist temptation.
Okay, that's good. Saying what the mission says, that's good. More or less, resist temptation. Wouldn't it be better not to get there?
Right.
Well, if it has no temptation, yeah, that would be fine. But that's not human, though. Everyone's tempted by something.
Right, okay. So the ability to resist temptation, that's what we want to say, it's good. What else would you say? Come on, let's. We have got thinking caps on. You know these black things we wear on our heads? That's a thinking cap. Let's hear.
That was just cover the false part.
Okay, yeah, that's also useful for that one. But sometimes you need a big one for that. Not you, but. What makes you a strong person, a strong spiritual person?
Someone who doesn't deviate from their goals.
Doesn't deviate from the goal.
You know where you want to go and you're going to get there and you're not going to let anybody detract you.
Okay, alright. Alright, let's see. You guys, any other advice? Not deviate from your goals.
Someone who either
right.
does or is willing to do work on themselves.
Who's willing to do work on themselves?
Discipline. Oh, whether it be discipline or. Yeah.
Self control to. Not compromise on your values.
Self-control. Okay, that's self-control. Not compromise on your values. Okay.
All right, what about the ability to maintain your values, like, in a... I mean, I guess we're all kind of saying the same thing, to be honest, but the ability to maintain your values in a completely... In a world where every value of yours is the opposite...
Right.
Like everybody thinks the exact opposite of you, and you're able to stand on the other side of the river and say, "No, I'm right," even though everyone in the world thinks I'm right.
Well, that's just being stubborn.
Yeah.
Sure. He's saying Avram Ivri. He was on the Ava Hana, the other side. That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
You're gonna know if you're right.
Yeah. Okay.
There are a lot of people in the world who think they're right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I'm gonna go out for 2 minutes. I'll come back.
I would have to say that a strong person is one who subdues personal inclinations. Is that what it says right there?
Yes. We're all saying, like,
I have to say it's someone who is slow to anger.
Yes,
slow
to anger.
The whole definition of strong is weak.
Strength and weakness.
It was black, the opposite of white.
He's an absolute strength.
Well, if it was hard to conceive of white, but it was easy to conceive of black, then you could use that as a starting point.
It's true, but I'm saying you still have to figure out what weak is if you want to use that.
Yeah.
Well, so what
comes to all his desires?
All right, where are we?
We're talking about a mission,
right? All right, great, let's go.
Who's a strong man?
Ooh, Avos. What?
Who's a strong man?
Who's a strong man?
It's still going to figure out.
Covetous Yitzro. One who conquers his Yitzro.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, but the guy with the most muscles can still come in and beat that guy up.
That's right. That's the Kiddush of God in the second tefillah in Shemona Esrei, right? He's Gibor, Ata Gibor, he's Machaye Mesim. We say the strongest person is the person who can kill the most people. But God, his strength is he can bring people to life. What? That's Rafi Phillips for it, actually. Have you met him yet?
No.
Have I met you yet?
Yeah, no, I haven't
met you. Moshe Friedman.
Nice to meet you.
What's your name?
Rael.
Rael?
Yeah.
Welcome.
This is a good boy.
This is a good boy?
How about giving a shade to these guys sometime? Maybe in the evening. That's a good idea, isn't it?
Well,
you have to speak to Rabbi... I think that's a good idea.
Okay, well...
We'll speak about it. Okay.
I may be spending Shabbos with these guys, actually.
Oh, yeah? Very good.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh,
yeah.
That's so maybe getting the shoe on Shabbos. Okay. So let's go. Let's go. So we're all saying a similar thing. The person has certain ideals and he lives according to them. That's what we're all saying. That makes a person spiritually strong. Correct? I think that's a good one. I would think that's a very good. What does Socrates say? You don't know what does Socrates say? Okay.
I think you have to add on that the environment is hostile, because if you just say I live according to my ideals and nobody's challenging them, it's not a very strong.
Okay, so you have to have
a test of strength.
Yeah, okay, that has to be a testing against you. So it has to be that you live with according to your ideals against ordeals.
Yes. No, Gary, I would have to disagree with you.
That makes you a strong person spiritually.
That's what all of you guys
have decided. That's the definition you've given. To live according to your principles when you get tested on them. Right? I think that's basically what the mission is saying. Let's see what the mission says. It says, Ezu Gibo Hakovish et Yitzer. Someone who controls his his desires. Has control over his desires. That's that simple speaking. That's the apostle. That's bringing a right. Shinema. Tov erech apayim. So someone who's tov erech apayim, someone who doesn't get angry. Migibo, from a person who's a strong person. Umoshel barucha, and someone who has control over his spirit. Milokir ir, for someone who conquers a city. Now, it seemed to be saying what you were saying. Doesn't it? It seems to be saying that someone who's in control of his desires.
Then someone who conquers a city.
And then it says, and brings a posuk. Someone who doesn't get angry is better than a strong person. And someone who has control over his spirit is better than someone who conquers a city.
Oh, better than.
Yeah. So what do you mean spirit? What do you mean control over your spirit? It doesn't mean what people do in the pub. Right? It does not mean that. I mean, it'd be useful. It doesn't mean that. Again, another not a raya from college. All right, but let's see what Rabbeinu Yonah has to say. But we see that, again, the pasuk doesn't seem to fit. And we don't speak about being angry here. It's just someone who's kovish yitro. Anger is just an aspect, just a midah. And Moshe Baruch, or someone's control of his spirit. What's that? That sounds also like some sort of anger thing. We didn't say someone who doesn't get angry is someone who's a gibbo. We said someone who's in control of his desires. So what control of your desire has to do with anger? Why is that a riot? Why is that a proof? Right? We have the same problem.
And here's you saying that anger is the ultimate.
What does anger mean? I want my way. You know there's a famous song called I Did It My Way. What happens when he didn't do it? Wait, would he get angry about it? We don't want to believe in we're doing it my way. We do believe it his way. When do you get angry?
You can't accept what's happened, or you have no control over something
that you don't want.
Yes.
Right. That means you want to change the reality, your reality.
Which you're unable to do.
Right, then you get angry.
It's a math equation. It's the difference between the way things are and the way you want them to be.
Okay. Things aren't the way you want them to be. So anger is such a, that means you have no control of your yetzer. I mean, someone who's kovish is yetzer is someone who just accepts everything that's around him. That would be very bad, very, very passive person. Doesn't it sound like this when you're controlling your and it says in the Gemara, you're allowed to be angry with your desires. You can beat up on your HR, right? That's not a problem.
Someone who projects that emotion outwards, not towards themselves. They say that they can't control the situation, so they do something else in another area.
Very good. So the control, it's a desire to control out of self. When you control out of self, so you're getting angry, or you're not Moshe Baruchov. When you're controlling your inner self, you won't need to be controlling your outer self. And if you learn that, it says the same thing. Someone who's kovish is Yitzro is controlling his inner self. You understand?
Just a question on that, though. Slightly tangential, but isn't there the person who's only controlling his inner self and not dealing with the outside world and reality the way it is? Isn't that kind of like he's creating a bit of like a delusion? If that makes sense, what I'm saying. Like, there is external stimulus by you just shutting your brain off.
Right.
You're not dealing with the situation. Does my question sort of make sense?
What do you mean not dealing with the situation?
Because reality is the way it is. Obviously, the situation is such that you have good reason to be angry or good reason to be upset. And the fact that you just say, okay, I'm not going to get angry, this is the way it's meant to be, this is the original system, you're just kind of like,
right,
deluding yourself. I don't know, this is a bit of a tangential thing, but I've often wondered about that, because they always say like have a munna of faith and all, you know, all these things.
Right.
But at the end of the day, like, bad is bad. If something bad happens to you or you're in a bad situation.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah, listen. Bad things, you know, there's Hilchos Avelos, you know? If a person's, you know, Chas V'Shalom, his parents die, Chas V'Shalom, right? Then that's a bad thing. Yeah, he's an Avel. He's supposed to be sad. He's potter from learning. He doesn't wear tefillin. There's all sorts of things. You know, he doesn't have simcha. First 7 days, 30 days, a year. There's laws. So, l'havdil, a person loses an object. He's supposed to feel bad about it. He's not supposed to say, oh great, I lost an object. Right? That's supposed to, he's normal. The Torah deals with normalities, but there's a difference. After the year, there's no more nice spayed him. Tishkach ha-meis min alev. The mate is forgotten about. It's the yod side, but we don't live with that tsar anymore. We live with it a little bit, but not in the same level. After the 7 days, it becomes different. The 30 days, not the same level of avelus. If I'm still thinking about this thing that I lost, that's a problem. A person has, if something bad happens, he's not supposed to be happy. Something happy happens, he's supposed to be happy. Something sad happens, he's supposed to be sad. But then he has to get over it. So there's things which are very sad and things which are a little bit sad. But there has to be a time period for the sadness and a time period for the getting over it. But he can't live with that sadness the whole time. He has to get over it. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Their ability to get over it is also part of the strength.
That's the strength, yeah. That's a Moshe Barucho. His emotion and his feelings. Now, some people don't have feelings. That doesn't mean they're Moshe Baruchim. I mean, that means their feelings are so inside them that they're not in contact with them, or that the contact they have with them is is not open to other people. That's a closed person. Doesn't mean he's Moshe Baruchim. Moshe Baruchim means someone has feelings and is in control of them. You don't mean you're Moshe in your feelings by not addressing them. Or by not expressing them. If you don't express them, that doesn't mean you're emotional. Emotional means you have control. That means I express them when I'm supposed to, and I don't express them when I'm not supposed to. Doesn't mean I don't have them for anyone. That's not called Moshe Baruch. That's called a person who's not a feeling person. He also has a problem. He's also not called Moshe Baruch. It means he's not dealing with himself. He's not re-expressing his real self. You understand? A lot of people make that mistake. They get rid of their problems by ignoring them. That's not what we're talking about. Limshol, right? To have emotion on something means you address it. Doesn't mean you have to address all of it now. You have to address it at a certain stage. Little by little. You know? Take samples that you can, you know. Like you get a vaccine, right? No one gives you the whole stuff, right? You're just going to be ill. They give you a little bit of it. So you have your antibodies, they come up, and then they fight it. So there's a certain amount that you've dosage that you can cope with. You overdose, bad news. Right? But you can deal with certain things, and then you might get the antibodies, and then with the actual disease, you take the whole disease out, and then you can deal with it. You understand what I'm saying? So we have to, when we have hard situations in life, we have to take them in its proper amounts and deal with them. But we can't ignore them. If we ignore them, we can ignore them for the moment, but not for eternity. Otherwise it'll just come back, it'll be a boomerang effect. Yeah? Excuse my Australian. Yeah. No, that I knew before, Sydney. Okay, now let's see. This is long Rabbeinu Yonah. I don't know if we're going to finish it today.
You're
right. Huh? Yeah, it's 3 o'clock. You have to go.
I need to take a nap.
Yeah. Okay. No. Also, there's a boy who's supposed to be coming. I don't know if he's here. He'll see me at 3. So you can see if Andrew wants to come again.
You're supposed to be there,
isn't it? Yeah, 3 in theory. I'll see him. He'll walk in. Ezu Gibo, who's a strong person? Hakovish at Yitro, someone who is Kovish as Yitro. Kamo, Shekoch Haguf, the strength of a person's physicality. He Malato, it's his Mala, his greatness in terms of his physicality. V'chashivuto, and his importance. Kach Koach HaNeshama, the strength of a person's Neshama, right? Hu malato, it's his spiritual mala, his height. V'gvurat haguf, right? And the strength of the person's guf, shi hakoach v'adam, the koach v'person, gam v'behema, also in an animal who. You also find that in animals. That doesn't discern a person from an animal. An ox is much stronger than these he-mans, right? They don't need these hormone things. You know, sort of ox going like that or whatever he does, right? Hu ki le kulam yesh koach. Everyone has strength. Lisa masaot. Umhem yote. Achaverehem. There's those who are more on their friends and within the animals. Right, donkey probably has a lot more. Ubezelo dibe benzona. This is not benzona speaking about. Not the koach aguf. Kilo nikrat gvura. It's not considered gvura. Ach gvur migvurat halev. The strength of one's heart. Now he's talking about. Remember, we talked about. Let's forget it. We talked the first bit of the mission speaking about chokhmah, mind. Now we're talking about lev, heart, strength of one's heart. Sheyesh ba shnei kochot. There's two strengths in one's heart. Liyot gibo b'milchama. To be strong in war. V'lo yifached libo la'olam. His heart won't worry or be frightened ever. V'gam koach kfishat hayetzah. And the strength to conquer your yetzah, your desires. Because the place for desires is in your heart. Like we say in tefillin in the morning, right? That's why we're tefillin against our heart. Hi, yeah, okay. We have to stop here. Yeah? Alright then. We'll carry on next week. Monday, we'll carry on with the mission of Bnei Adam. I'm sorry about the interruptions.